Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. Piper's Journey Home, the true story of a rescue puppy by Dave Osborne, is a heartwarming children's tale that chronicles the remarkable journey of Piper, a stray dog found near the Mexican border in South Texas. Sick, hungry, searching for love, Piper's life transforms when she is taken in by a caring family. This touching true story, told from Piper's perspective, follows her recovery and her adjustment to life as a cherished family pet. Dave Osborne is a retired technology chief executive officer turned author whose passion for writing and love for dogs coalesced into The Adventures of Piper series of three books that entertain young readers and educate them about the challenges and rewards of caring for rescued animals. Dave is also the author of Taking Charge. That's a business leadership book drawing on his 52 and a half years in telecommunications and his tenure as CEO of a leading broadband company in South Texas. And his first fiction novel, Signals of Deception, was just published in May of this year. It's a geopolitical thriller introducing Scott Douglas, a CIA special agent who will appear in subsequent novels. And Dave Osborne, author of the Piper's Journey Home series, The True Story of a Rescue Puppy, The Adventures of Piper, Book 1, is our guest on This Week in America. Hi, Dave. Welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
I love what you've done in this book. It's going to be fun talking about this, of what you went through. It's a true story, and it's going to touch so many people as they're hearing what you went through in the story and what the joy that Piper brought into your life. I mentioned the background you've had, a really impressive background in business. What made you start writing when you retired? And you're very good at this as well. What made you turn to writing?
Well, it's interesting because I've always liked to write. I started way back when I was in graduate school and started out, I wasn't much of a writer and fortunately married a high school English teacher who helped me and coached me. And by the time I got my MBA, could write pretty well. And then in the business world, I was in sales and sales management for years, wrote a lot of proposals, moved into, you know, senior management where you are working with policy manuals and documents for legal use and so forth. So I've written for a long time and knew that when I did retire, I retired late. I mean, I was a late comer to this, but I knew I'd do something. I just wasn't sure what. I started with the business book and then we adopted this puppy. And then I said, I got to write a book about this dog. She's special in a lot of ways. And then at the back of my mind, I thought, what you really want to do is to enter the fiction world, which is a pretty broad field. And it's very different than writing nonfiction. So here I am. And it's been quite a journey.
Yeah. What's it like being known now for being an author as opposed to, a business executive? It's sort of the new identity that that Dave has, this author, successful author across several genres, which we'll talk about. But what's this been like? It's been like discovering a whole new Dave.
It really has, because when I, stepped down at the end, one day I was responsible for everything. The next day I'm responsible for nothing. And it's quite a mental shift. And it took me a couple of days to realize, hey, you don't do that anymore. It's very different. I obviously don't have, I have around 500 people and I retired. I don't have any. It's just me and my dog, who's about 2 feet from me. I've been gone, so she hasn't been more than 2 feet from me since I got home yesterday afternoon. But I just really enjoy, I guess, the independence of it. I've met a whole new bunch of people. The writing business is absolutely nothing like technology. I mean, it's night and day different. So I've had to learn a brand new industry, a lot of different players and other players. The same. So it's just been a learning curve, and I've got, I think, I don't know, maybe 10, hopefully, if, depending on how lucky I get, 10 to 15 years of runway here to write some more. So we'll see how it goes. You know, so far, so good. So far, it's been fun. And I guess when it stops being fun, that's probably time I need to start going fishing every day.
You do such a wonderful job with this. And the first book I mentioned, now, was that the first book, Taking Charge? Was that the first one you wrote?
That's the first one I started. And I worked on that really about the last year. I was kind of accumulating topics and then had a kind of a laundry list of things I wanted to talk about. Then when I retired, I actually packaged it. The Piper book ended up coming out a little bit quicker. Taking Charge is around 40,000 words. The Piper books, both of them, are right at 2,000. So you could do one of those rather quickly compared to Taking Charge. So I was able to, I had the photos of Piper and was able to do book one in about 4 months, 5 months, soup to nuts. And then the business book, that took better part of a year, year and a half to really get that like I wanted
Yes.
it. And I had a lot of readers, a lot of good helpers to offer comments and suggestions on that. So Piper's books, Piper Book One, Piper's Journey Home, was actually the first book published. The second book published was Taking Charge, and then Piper Learns to Serve was done that fall, which is a different, it's a kind of a continuation of Piper's life. And then the third book is in the middle, and that's a little more complicated because you've got some, she's a therapy dog. So when you go into schools, you've got issues with, releases from kids,
Oh,
and then
yes.
when you healthcare facilities, you have issues with HIPAA regulations, and you also have photo releases and all that. So a little more protocol and bureaucracy in that. So it's going to take more time, but I think it'll be worth it in the end. She's a good little gal. Both my wife and I are just taking with it. It's like having a toddler in the house again, and we really enjoyed it. It's been a while
Well,
since
we'll
we've
talk about how she found a home. You found almost another member of the family. I guess probably a member of the family. Forget the perhaps a member of the family.
Oh yeah, she is. And all pets. Like I said, I just
Yes.
finished with some junior high school buddies that we get together a couple of times a year. We all three have dogs, and it's amazing. We're all empty nest. We've been so for a long time, but our dogs are surrogate, kids and grandkids, and we. All three. One of them's a hunting dog, who's a pointer. Then you've got the other fellow has a golden retriever, and then I've got my here is the polite way to say mutt. But she's a sweetheart, and we both are very fond of her. But we feel fortunate. We had a dachshund, and what oriented me toward this was we had a dachshund. And had 12 and a half years and then lost him. And then I was traveling so much with my job. We were growing at a rapid pace. I mean, we grew 400% in the last 10 years and just couldn't take on another pet. My wife was doing a lot of travel with me, going to conferences and things like that where wives were included. So we just delayed it till I got retired. And sure enough, about 2 months after I retired, Marilyn got a call from a lady in her Bible study and said, "We had a stray puppy wander up to our house. Would you all be interested in taking it?" And we said, "Well, let's take a look first." And we went over there, and that's in the first book. That's the very first day that we saw her. That photo was in the early part of the book. And we just fell in love with the little gal. Now, she had every parasite they have a pill for, but, and that's part of the story. Is we got her healthy and she was emaciated from being on the street. She was about, our vet thinks, because of her teeth, maybe 3.5, 4 months old. So she had a little bit of time to wander about. And then once we got her healthy and then started training her and got her chipped and got her spayed at 6 months. And that's the theme of the first book is how you assimilate a dog into the house, and the fact she was a stray is relevant, but it's not the heart of the story. It makes the story sweet. But any dog, if you went to a breeder and got a dog, you'd have to go through a lot of these same steps. Now, with a stray like this and a shelter dog, you do have possible issues of abuse where they're scared, or they're just a stray can be
Yes.
scared of people as well. So, but we were fortunate. Piper was very young, so we didn't have a lot of those issues to deal with. But they are there. In fact, being on the board of the American Dog Society, I learned that shelter dogs that almost 30% of them are taken back within the first 6 months because the owners just can't manage them. Either it's they don't know what they're getting into, or there's issues with the dog. And when those dogs go back, only half of those ever leave the shelter again.
Well, that's so sad.
Like being euthanized. So one of the things I thought, well, if I can help people, A, know what they're getting into, and B, try to slow down or retard at least that rate of return. It takes patience. And people have patience with their kids, but with a pet, they expect a pet to be learn stuff as quickly as a kid, and they just don't. You got to be consistent. Dogs don't think like people do. They're very routine oriented. So building a routine very early and sticking with it is the best way that we found to train an animal. And it's like I said, it's been a pleasure to help people and to do a little missionary work in terms of to raise the success factor on adoptions. Now, book two has nothing to do with that because in bringing Piper into the home, her temperament is so good. She's very sweet, almost timid, and just had all the prospects of being a therapy animal. So I found a company to work with, Pet Partners that we chose, and then followed their program on training. I had 80 hours worth of training on how to handle a pet and what to, you know, what my responsibilities as a handler were going to be. And then Piper can be able to respond to commands. And we have a trainer here in the Rio Grande Valley. I live 9 miles from the Mexican border down in Harlingen. And we have a really wonderful trainer here who trains drug dogs for the Border Patrol. So, I mean, he's the high-level stuff.
Oh, yes.
All kinds of dogs for the FBI, ICE, Border Patrol, you name it. He trains dogs for them. But anyway, he liked Piper. And has took Piper under his wing while we were on an extended vacation. And when we came back, Piper was really able to respond well to commands. And then we came back about a week later and took our test and passed it and got certified. So she is a card-carrying therapy animal. We enjoyed you know, going to schools and clinics and visiting people, and it's been fun. But that's the topic of book two, Piper Learns to Serve, is the journey that we had going through and getting me certified and then her certified and so forth. And then Piper's third book, Piper on the Job, will be about our visits in elementary schools and some middle schools, but mostly elementary schools, and then going into healthcare facilities, rehab centers,
yes.
Hospice centers, and not so, you know, if you go into a big hospital, you want to go into the pediatric wing. That's probably the best place there. But clinics are absolutely, I think, the best. The rehab centers where people are in there for a month and they really get bored and enjoy. It's amazing. They walk into a room with the dogs who you like to have a visit from a dog. Oh my gosh, yes, yes, bring it. They start petting her, and I have a comb and things like that. They can calm her and brush her and pet her. And of course, she sits on cue and smiles and acts cute.
It's anyway, wonderful kind of- that you're able to get out and to take Piper and the unique personality, the charming, loving personality she has, and share with young people, yeah, with people in the hospital, with seniors, that type of thing. If you're just joining us, our guest is Dave Osborne. That's Osborn. His website, very simple, DaveOsborneBooks.com. Information on all of the books there that you can order, books available wherever books are sold. Let's go back to the beginning. Chapter one, you mentioned when you first saw Piper. The chapter and picture says it all. Homeless, cold, and soaking wet when you took Piper into the family. How long did it take for Piper to become a member of the family?
Well, it probably 30 days. But remember, it was just Marilyn and I, so she was
yes,
the center. And the biggest thing we had at first was to get the worms under control and to get her to where she could actually eat something without throwing it all up. Potty training, of course, was a big item to do next. And that females, I think, Piper's a spay female. I think they're a little easier to train than a male. But anyway, we had to get her trained. And then by the end of probably a month, we'd gotten the worm situation under control. She was eating normally, starting to gain weight. She was 16 pounds when we got her, and our vet said she should have been about double. And then she's now, as she's about 2.5 right now, is between 55 and 60 pounds. So she's looks like a lab, but she built like a pit bull. And she has both of those dogs in her. But anyway, she one of the chapters talks about the DNA tests that I had run on her and the different lineage that she's got. Yes. And she is definitely a Heinz 57 variety. a lot of heritage in her dog world.
We're talking about Piper, the Piper's Journey Home, the true story of a rescue puppy by Dave Osborne, the other books in the series as well, and books available at Dave's website and wherever books are sold, DaveOsborneBooks.com. You really go through what it takes. You get a dog, and once you get over that euphoria, there's a realization, isn't it? There's some work involved in this.
Sure. And it's and the thing about it is people go through this when they have kids. But you don't take a kid back after 6 months. You just go forth. But a dog, a pet, or even a cat, it's just too easy to say, I give up. I don't want to do this, and take them back. And that's unfortunate because you talk about unrequited love. I mean, they love with no hold back at all. I mean, they love with all their hearts, and they're just this little thing is about the sweetest, most affectionate dog. We always talk about this. The last dog, which is Max, our miniature dachshund, he was a grumpy Gus, but he was lovable. But he was a little grump. This one, 100% sweetheart. I mean, she just is. You couldn't ask for a nicer, sweeter dog than Piper is. But yeah, it took a little bit of time just to get the health issues under control, and there's the training issues and. Then about that time, she was very quickly 6 months old. And since she is a mixed breed, there's no point in reproducing. So we had her spayed. That even makes him a little bit more less restless. You know, that kind of calms him down a bit. So we enjoyed her all the time after that.
You know, and besides just meeting you and your wife and being part of the family, you have the grandsons that got involved as well. And talk about the interaction with the young members of the family.
They are very fond of her, and they live in Houston. They come down, it's about a 5-hour drive. They come down 2 or 3 times a year, and I always insist that they go with me to walk her in the morning and just to show them what it takes. And if they're here 4 mornings, we go walking 4 mornings. There's no rain or shine. If it's raining, which it doesn't much, but if it's raining, I have a poncho and have raincoats for those guys. And we go walking in the rain. Piper loves water, so she doesn't care. But we go in the rain, and we go when it's cold and whatever. But it's a discipline, just saying this is what it takes. And you can't say, well, I don't feel like it today. Piper still needs to go out and walk. And you need to take care of her. And also when she takes her once-a-month pill, I always have the guys sit there and help me out, cut it in half, and she likes it. A lot of dogs don't. But Piper will just give her half here and half here, and she's fine. But, yeah, the grandsons are great fans. And, of course, when we have dinner, Piper's under the table. The younger of the two grandsons will slip her pieces of whatever meat we're having that night. And Piper's not picky, and I tell him, be careful with the table food, but a little bite here and a bite there is not going to hurt anything. But yeah, the boys, they're busy with sports right now, and they're second grade and eighth grade, so they're really, I don't think a dog is going to be in their picture for some time until they get their Saturdays are taken up. They don't have time to train the dog, but they certainly enjoy mine.
Well, and that's something else. And you point out in the book, there are requirements. It's a decision you really should give some thought to, shouldn't you? So you're not one of those 30% that goes back to the shelter and, whoops, I made a mistake and possibly ruin the life of the animal. You really need to give this some thought.
Well, I do. I think people don't realize what all is involved with having a pet. I mean, it's not all sitting next to you on the couch watching television. There is a lot of maintenance that has to do with that, and I think people either underestimate the importance of it, or they just don't. They're unaware of it. So, like I said, the book is intended, and I wrote the book in Piper's voice, and Piper's telling her own story, which really hits people differently than me. It doesn't sound like me lecturing people. It's Piper telling her story. She has some urgency to some of the parts of it, and it reads quite well, I think. I think it was a good idea to have her tell her story, and it kind of has a little more impact that way.
Well, yeah, it's a unique perspective. Piper's telling the story of what she's gone through, and it's such a touching book series, and information available, again, at Dave's website, DaveOsborneBooks.com, OSBORN. Link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. A couple minutes left. You switched from that to writing a novel. Tell me a little bit about why you decided to write a novel and the type of novel that you wrote, because there's another great story that you're telling.
Well, I like to tell stories, and you know, part of what I did as a chief was to go out and fire up the troops, and we had about 10, 11 remote offices that we would visit a couple of times a year, and I just like to tell stories, and I've always been a fan of like Tom Clancy, David Baldacci,
yes.
Glenn and his replacements. I just got the latest Mitch Rapp book yesterday. And those type of stories resonate with me. And I thought, boy, I'd like to try to write like that. So I thought, I'll try a geopolitical thriller. I made it very topical. A buddy of mine, I asked him, he's a retired colonel, and he was in the Signal Corps. And I said, you know what, I've been thinking about something to do with computers and not trusting them. And he said, artificial intelligence, that's new. And he said, people trust it without thinking. He said, and it's really no different than a regular computer system. It's just got a little bit more bells and whistles on it. And I said, that's a great idea. Thank you. So that's what I did. And it's basically about placing too much trust in what comes out of a computer, and an enemy in the Middle East decides to send false fraudulent messages to incite our military to arm itself against like Russia and China, and nothing of the kind is happening. It's all fake. And the military, though, puts blind faith in this server, and they start moving troops and start moving toward conflict. Meanwhile, the CIA and ICE, through a connection on the border, start getting doubts and just say, we're tracking some of the sources on this, and this is coming from the Middle East. This is not coming from Russia. It's not coming from China. So anyway, we have the CIA, the intelligence community, trying to get the military community to stand down. And then when they do finally realize what's going on, and the question is, what do we do about it? So we go in and take out the data center. And it's really two stories. The first story is about solving the riddle, peeling back the onions,
yes.
Kind of tea, as computer stuff is. And then the rest of it is going and taking out the data center and taking out the enemy. And it takes its 21-day story. About the first half of it is solving the puzzle. The second half, I think, is being sure that it does not happen again. And then you go back as at the end is, all right, how do we fix this computer system to where it won't be tricked again? Like the old song, don't get fooled again. That's really the heart of the story. So anyway, that's kind of a thumbnail sketch of it. It's called Signals of Deception, and it's the hero is Scott Douglas, and he is a CIA agent with a Ranger background. And there will be, I've just started already conceptually, I have an outline for the second.
Oh, good.
Thriller. And I think I can probably do five or six of these in a career. And like I said, I've got a fairly short runway because of my age. So I came to this party late. I'll do as much as I can before I have to quit for one reason or another. But anyway, I really enjoy telling the story, and the feedback I've gotten on it is, it's a good book. It ought to be a movie. And I go, oh, about that. You know,
It's got all the elements there, and it's really sort of ripped from the headlines. Everybody's dealing with AI, and you read a story, it's good for you. Read another one where people were deceived. They thought they were watching a real newscast, and they were watching something produced by AI. It's just fascinating, the good and the bad, and trying to find the right balance and finding out what is bad and how to get rid of it.
That's absolutely true. It's easy, very easy to fake stuff. It's the way it is.
That's yes. And that book is called, again, Signals of Deception. These books available at the Piper Series, wherever books are sold. I'll send you to Dave's website, which is DaveOsborneBooks.com. That's OSBORN, DaveOsborneBooks.com. Like on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And if you do that, you'll be able to stay up with Dave when new books in the series are coming out. The main focus of the conversation today has been Piper's Journey Home, the True Story of a Rescue Puppy. You will love this book. It will entertain you. Also, great information there if you're thinking about adding another member of the family, what you need to go through. There are joys, there are challenges as well. All those are addressed in Piper's Journey Home. And I'd like to thank Christian Media Works for setting up our conversation today. Christian Works Media, dream big and succeed, dedicated to helping authors to promote their successful books and their series. And we thank them for the conversation today. Dave, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. A lot of books coming up. Hopefully we can talk about those as well. Thank you for being with us on the program.
Thank you. It's been a privilege and a pleasure.
It's been our pleasure. DaveOsborneBooks.com is the website. All the information on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.